The title of tonight's message is The Need for the Cross. This is the true need of our Lord Jesus on the cross. And there, on the cross, Jesus said two words, I thirst. Is this very different from our need when Jesus said, I thirst? I'd like to read the scripture from John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Our life begins when we were first born. And everybody around us had a smile while we cried. A baby cries when he was first born. But when that baby passed away, all around that person cried. But only that person who passed away can smile. That passed away person can smile because all the trouble has passed away. When Jesus took up the human flesh, God is smiling. But the world was crying. God smiled. Because this is a time that he supplied a salvation to the world. Jesus accepted this ministry that God has laid upon Jesus' shoulder to carry out. We are living in sin. We are being obligated under the burden of sin. But our Lord came to the world to complete the salvation plan so that our Christ was weeping when God is moaning. Why did Jesus weep? He was weeping for us. The whole world was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ to be closer to God. Because of his sacrifice, we are being drawn closer to God. All the books of the gospel show us the saving utterance of Jesus while Jesus was nailed on the cross. And all these utterances has something to do with us directly, has related to our faith. And all these utterances from Jesus, there are three of them. When Jesus was talking to God the Father, there are two utterances that Jesus was talking to the people surrounding, and two of the utterances that Jesus is talking to himself. Three of the words is first is, Dear Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the first utterance of Jesus on the cross. I call that this is a prayer of Christ on the cross. There is a need important for the whole world, and that is the forgiveness of sin. Without forgiveness of sin, we could not be saved. But Jesus prayed to the Father, Father, please forgive them. The second utterance that Jesus talked to God, Jesus said, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I call that the weeping of Christ on the cross. Jesus cried out because He is being separated from the Lord, accepted the forsakenness from the Father God instead of us. He did everything for us. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The third utterance that Jesus talked to God, prayed to God. Into your hand, I commit my spirit. And I call this is a wish of Christ. So the lesson here that we must have a dream. That is the glory. Where do we, our spirit go after we die? In your hand, I commit my spirit. Jesus taught us to do the same. And then surrounding the people around the cross, Jesus has two utterances. He told a thief next to him that when this thief say, Jesus, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus too said tonight, you will be with me in paradise. And this is a promise on the cross. Not just for this thief, but this promise is for anyone accept Christ into their heart. Accepted Christ as a sacrifice for our sin. And we can experience the forgiveness of sin. The second utterance to the surrounding people. He told Mary, or talked to John, say, this is your son, to Mary. And John, he too said, this is your mother. Take care of her. So Jesus asked John to take care of Mary. And from there, John took Mary into his home and cared for her. So Jesus had brothers. That means Mary, after giving birth to Jesus, she is no longer a virgin, but she has more sons with Joseph. But Jesus did not let his brother take care of Mary. Instead, he appointed John the apostle. What does it mean? It means that in Jesus, we have a family in Jesus. You and I, we were strangers to Jesus, but now, this is your brother, this is your sister. We have a family in Christ. Jesus, give us a family, a body of Christ. And then two utterances for himself. I thirst, Jesus said, talking about the need of Jesus while he's on the cross. And tonight, we like to share with you, in and the cross, he has a body just like us, so that he can sympathize with whatever we face in our life. And the second to himself, he said, Jesus said, everything is finished. This is what I call the praising of Jesus. Jesus finalized and completed his mission. Everything is finished. With the Father, he is finished. He completed the salvation. He finished everything is needed to save the sinners. So that, and this is a model that Jesus left for us to follow. He has fought a good fight. And so he wanted us, each one, to also fight a good fight. Let's think about the knee on the cross. The key verse is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let's read this key verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In John chapter, it's key verses in Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. There are three things that I like to share with you tonight. First thing is that the need must be appropriate. Do you have a need? You and I all have a need.
We think about the need of Jesus on the cross. When God created us, He created our human body with two-thirds of it is water. This is through the science class we learned. There are two-thirds of water inside our body. And science let us know that each day must have two-quarters of water to supply enough water for the water. So it's like needing 2 liters per day. So every day your body would need about 2.5 quarters of water. If we do not have 2% of water, our capacity will lose 20%. We will not have enough strength or motivation to do anything. Only if we lost 2% of the water. If we lost 10% of the water, we will just lie flat down on the floor. We could not lift our hands or our feet. And if we lost 20% of the water, we die. It is very important that the body needs water. A person may not eat for 40 days. Our Jesus has fasted 40 days before he was tempted. And without water, within 5 days, that person will die. One of the points that discovered by science is wonderful is that now they can have IV into the body, so the fluid can be entered into the body of the sick person. And that is something that is must be done first by the paramedics. When Jesus said, "I thirst," he expresses a need of water for his own body. And when Jesus had a Last Supper with his apostle, he went into Gethsemane. "My spirit is saddened. The God of heaven and earth can comfort others to bring joy. But that God said, my spirit is saddened unto death." It is a deep sadness. And when we are in a stressful condition, our throat will be dry. We swallow, but maybe there's nothing there to come down. The stress of Jesus, when Jesus, under the stressful condition of Gethsemane, and so his throat was dry. And after Judas led the soldier to capture Jesus, they betray him by a kiss. They moved Jesus from Gethsemane to the palace of Ananias. And in the that time, he retired from the high priest. And he relinquished his authority to his son-in-law named Caiaphas. And because he was the chief high priest before, so they led Jesus into that palace. And in that night, they tried to condemn Jesus in the palace of Ananias. Afterward, he said, bring to the chief high priest now. And they led Jesus to the palace of Caiaphas. A person was bound. He could not walk naturally. People were pushing him around. Some were beating on him. Some spit on his face. In that situation, under very stressful, from one place to another, from the palace Ananias to the palace of Caiaphas, and on that night, he stood to the court of Caiaphas to be condemned. But nobody could find anything wrong with Jesus. And then, at the near dawn, Jesus from Caiaphas' palace to the governor, which is Pilate. This person was a rebellious person with Caesar. So, from there, Jesus was moved, walking among the crowd, being pushed around, came into the palace to be investigated by Pilate. Pilate could not find any fault with Jesus. Now there's a king, Herod, there. Is the king came to Jerusalem as a visit. So Pilate moved Jesus toward the palace of Herod. And so, once again, Jesus was walking bounded. And Herod could not find any fault with Jesus. Herod said, Jesus was a fool. And finally, he returned Jesus to Pilate. So, they moved Jesus bounded. They beat him, they cursed him, and spit it on his feet, and returned it to Pilate. Pilate wanted to set Jesus free. Is there any emotion that Jesus wanted to express to Pilate? And before the crowd nailed him to the cross, the crowd was shouting. Pilate gave Jesus to the soldier to be beaten up. And they formed a thorny crown to put on Jesus' head. Jesus was so tired, no water, he was so thirsty at that time. He was sweating out. Now, he lost blood, and the need of water is very critical. But Pilate caused Jesus to carry the cross unto the place called Golgotha. According to the Romans law, anybody who nailed the cross must carry his own cross there. But the Bible said Jesus was so weak he could not carry. And so the soldier used Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross for Jesus. Jesus' body was so tired. He was beating up. He was bleeding at Golgotha. They nailed Jesus on the cross and hung there from the very early morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It could be very hot because of high noon. And from 12 noon to 3, there is an event that happened. All the sky was darkened. Maybe the cloud was giving a shadow there. But finally, there is a stressful internally because of that darkness. Jesus was forsaken by God. The sadness internally is much more than the physical suffering of the body. And so, her his throat is so very, very dry. And on that cross, Jesus has a need, and that need is a need very appropriately because of his suffering. Dear congregation, when you and I have a need that we call upon God to have that need satisfied, if that need is right, then our calling for that need is appropriate. But if we have a wish, if we have a prayer, if we have a calling out that does not express from a deeply, truly needy situation, we have to be careful. The Bible said, a need that is not inappropriate, that just satisfies our own fleshly desire. James said like this, our body has been tempted by our sinful desire. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Give birth to death. So, on the cross, Jesus used his own need to tell us, do we have a need like Jesus? The need must be appropriate like Jesus is. May God bless you so we can see our very own need. The second point we will study together is needs must be according to the will of God. The Bible says they have used a sponge, put the sponge on the vinegar and put it on the stalk of a hyssop plant. There are different kind of a stalk mentioned, and they lift this up to Jesus' lips, and Jesus receives a taste of that. And before Jesus said Jesus was thirsty, Jesus knew what was happening. Jesus' death is in the plan of the, our God, and Jesus knew has to, things have happened. In Gethsemane, Jesus has prayed, Father, if it's possible, please lift this cup away from me, but not according to my will, according to your will. Jesus is concerned with the will of God. And so that when there is a need, that need must be according to the will of God. In Mark, as well as Matthew, recorded that when they took in the Golgotha and ready to be nailed to the cross, then they used wine with bitter herbs or some kind of a medicine to let Jesus drink. And the scripture said Jesus refused to drink such a mixture. Why? Because the wine with the herb is like a narcotic to reduce the pain of the person being nailed to the cross. Now, so they try to have some mercy on this condemned person to reduce the pain somewhat, so that when the nail is pierced through the hand, maybe that person could reduce some pain somewhat. But our Jesus refused such a treatment. Jesus did not use that pain reducer because Jesus must swallow the bitter cup that is given by our Godfather. Here, they use a hyssop with a sponge, dip it in the wine and vinegar, and Jesus said, I thirst. What do you think of this action? Are the soldiers so nice? Do the soldiers love Jesus? No.
Why did they use the sponge and listen to the lips of Jesus? Because in reality, vinegar is very sour. Jesus could not take that. And when they lift up to them vinegar, they can make that body, that mixture could make the body more thirsty. In Mark, as well as Luke, then recorded like this. The soldier took the vinegar and then said, see if Elijah can come and save him. And before Jesus said thirst, Jesus said, my God. And in Aramaic, he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Why did you forsake me? But when they say, Eloi, Eloi, they didn't know that Jesus was calling on the God Father. They thought they called Elijah. They say, would Elijah come and save him or not? The soldier said, to release him from the house. And that action to put the vinegar to Jesus, this is a mocking mockery. Is an act of despise. But Jesus knew what will happen to him. Why did Jesus say, I thirst? And then the soldier took the sponge, dipped in the vinegar, and gave it to Jesus, because this is one of the prophecies that occurred in the Old Testament. There are 332 prophecies related the sacrifice of Jesus for Jesus' life. From the time he was born until the end, all the details must be fulfilled, the prophecy. And Jesus knew that even when the soldier dipped the sponge into the vinegar, and that is something has been prophesied in the Old Testament. And there is no other said in the Bible about Jesus that did not get fulfilled. David, in Psalm 22, and he wrote this psalm. When he wrote this psalm, David used of the language that to express of his own suffering, David's suffering, when he was chased by his enemy, when the King David was treated unfairly. But these are written by David to call on the Lord, expresses the suffering of a king. But David did not know that this is a prophecy that God used David to write about Jesus' suffering. In 22 verse 1, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And this is the one that Jesus uses on the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. In Aramaic. In verse 15, David says, my weakness, my tongue touched my throat. Then this is the condition that Jesus, when he is on the cross, because his tongue is very dry. In verse 16, David said, all the dogs are surrounded me. The evil person surround me. They pierce my hands and feet. But David did not get that pierce. But this is about the prophecy about Jesus. All the evil persons surrounding and piercing the hands and feet of Jesus. Verse 18, they divided my robe and they cast lots to have my robe. David did not get that. But all these, David did not know that David is writing about a Messiah 1,000 years after that fulfilled the words. And the soldier did cast lot for the robe of Jesus. And they don't want to tear up the robe of Jesus. Whoever wins the lot will receive this robe. All of that talk about fulfill in Jesus
And so with this curse by Jesus, it's also that the scripture must be fulfilled. After that, David wrote in 69, verse 21, they use a bitter fruit, and when I was thirsty, they offer me vineyard. And the old translation, when I was weak, they used the bitter herb to make me, offer me food and let me drink vinegar. All these details the scripture mentioned has been fulfilled in Jesus' life. So the scripture wrote about Jesus in the book. As here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. Everything that written about Jesus must be fulfilled. So the bitter cup that Jesus must take, that is a cup that's complete, that would take the whole. He refused the narcotics to reduce his pain. He has bring the vinegar, because that is a mocking action by the soldier, but Jesus accepted the mockery from the soldiers, the congregation. In 1987, August 16, there is a flight of Northwest Airlines, flight number 225, lift off from Detroit, flying toward Arizona. But after lift up about the highway above Detroit Airport, the flight crashed. There are six flight lieutenant and 149 passengers, and one of the 150 had been killed. 148 has passed. There is only one that was survived, and that's a daughter in Tempe, Arizona. Her name is Cecilia Chican. She survived the crash. So when they investigate this, they didn't think that this particular daughter, could, little girl, could survive. Maybe this little girl is left behind, was parking car outside. And so when the plane hit the car, the baby girl can be dislodged from the car. But the Cecilia Chican is part of the passenger, because her name is there. Why did she survive? Because when the airplane crashed, her mother unseated herself, and she sit before this little girl, and she embraced this girl, and she held her really tight while the airplane was crashing down. She died, but this little girl survived. The action of her mother, Paula Chican, thought that I would do everything as long as my daughter survived. And in actuality, she survived, and she's grown up now. And this was back in 1987. She's like 40-some now, and she married, and she's living in Arizona. And her name, Cecilia Crocker, she was married. Dear congregation, this image let us know that Jesus on the cross, she's seen that she has to do everything needed so that every one of us can be saved. So maybe there is a mockery so deep, her thirst could be so deep. Jesus is ready to receive all of that, because Jesus loved each one of us. When God created the heaven and earth, God knows that we need water. And so, our earth, one fourth is land, but three fourths is water, because water is so important to this earth. Jesus is someone with God, created this world. Jesus created this world. He created rain. He has authority over nature on this earth. He proves himself. He declared that to calm the storm. He did all the miracles. He saved the sick, the blind, the one being possessed by demons. Even the dead got zero rights. But when Jesus needed a water, he did not use his own authority to satisfy himself. He can make rain at that time. Yes, he could do that. But Jesus didn't do that. Why? Because this is the middle cup according to God's will. So Jesus did not use his own authority to do any miracle on the cross to satisfy himself. He must say, I thirst. When he says thirst, the one who created our world, he could do miracles that he himself said, I thirst. Isn't that strange? But there is a true need in the body of Christ at that time. So our need has been satisfied, must be according to God's will. Jesus did not use his authority to satisfy himself. He accepted the bitter cup from God. Today, that vinegar who would bring Jesus some water. If we have the opportunity, does Jesus say, I thirst? Would you want to bring a little water to Jesus? Maybe we don't have that opportunity to see face to face with Jesus, to bring a cup of water to Jesus. However, but we can make Jesus less thirsty. Whoever in you, because of me, give a small child a cup of water, you will not lose your reward in heaven. When we do something in the name of Jesus, not worthy of our mercy, we are doing it for Jesus. So we think about all the entertainment, the food, the worship, or anything that we do in our life. Everything in our life is worthy what Christ has paid for us or not. If we have some busyness about our parents, our children, that we could not fulfill what we have been given. Jesus said, whoever loved your parents more and children more than me is not worthy for me. If we have an excuse that I am busy with my work, I have to complete my job, I could not worship you, I could not serve you, Lord Jesus. Whoever loved the farm and house more than me is not worthy of me. I do not want to mistreat my friend. I have to entertain my friend. I have to go out with my friend and entertain my friend because I don't want my friend to be disappointed in me. Whoever to receive the whole world that lose his soul, that person is not worthy for Jesus. If you and I, because of our advantage of some kind in this world, maybe economic gain, maybe in this world we gain something, and we live not according to the scripture, what Jesus said, whoever tried to keep his life will lose. Whoever lose his life, that will regain it because of me. If we do not dare because of Jesus, like everything, what do we receive in return? Jesus taught us a need must be appropriate, must be according to the God's will of our need. Before the third point, we will praise another hymn. His heart is broken because of me. The lyrics of this song said, because of the Lamb, His love. He found the lost sheep to return home. He came with a heart full of mercy to give Seba, but the world has turned our face from Him. In this time, what do we think about what Jesus has sacrificed on the cross for? The fox has a hole. The birds have nests. But Jesus has no place to lay His head. Maybe Jesus say, I thirst. And we are not hearing what Jesus is saying to us. We will think about the third point of the lessons tonight. Jesus, the need must be appropriate, must be according to the will of God, and the need to sympathize. In the time of Jesus, Gnosticism is someone who does not believe that Jesus is 100% human. They thought that Jesus is God become man, but Jesus is a spirit, that the spirit could do certain things, and Jesus performed many miracles, so that Jesus cannot be 100% human, according to Gnosticism. But if Jesus is not like us, how could He sympathize with us? The scripture let us know that when Jesus feel thirsty, He can ask a woman at Samaria to give Him a drink. When Jesus passed for 40 days and the devil tempted Jesus, caused the rock to become food so He can eat. Jesus knows thirst. Jesus knows that He's hungry. When Jesus served the Lord, He went to us to bring the boat, and then Jesus was resting behind the dead. Why? Because He was so tired. When Jesus stood before His friend Lazarus, who died 4 days ago, and then Jesus wept. And on the cross, Jesus said, I thirst. And all this tell us that Jesus is also God, but also human like us. He has his attributes of God, but He has a human nature in Him. And the scripture in Hebrew says that since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death, He might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. The devil has authority on each one of us. And the greatest power is death. Jesus must carry a flesh like us, and He died. And we resurrect him, and we destroy the power of death from the devil. Jesus can sympathize because He is fully human. And that's compassion. He can share everything that we feel, from the need of the soul. Jesus can sympathize with each and every one of us. Without what we disappoint, that Jesus couldn't be more disappointed. If you feel lonely, Jesus would feel even more lonely. If we are mistreated, but Jesus is being mistreated more. Jesus received all these on the world to be able to comprehend our suffering. The congregation. In 1840, there is a father named Damien in Belgium. He came to Molokai in Hawaii in 1873, and with the wish that he will preach the gospel to the lepers there in that island. And that the place where all the lepers were gathered there. And Damien has come. He built the houses there. He built school. And he built many coffins so that they have a coffin to bury the dead. He did many things. He can heal and take care of the sick for 11 years from 1873 to 1884. No lepers accepted Christ. None of the lepers came to hear him preach. Even though the lepers received all the help from Father Damien. In 1984, he wanted to return to Belgium because he felt that his mission failed. And that night, when he was taking a shower to prepare, he looked at himself and he saw certain white spots on his skin. All the days that lived with the lepers, now he become leprous as well. And all the white spots is telling him that he is contaminated with them. He said no, he would stay. He let everybody that I have been leprous just like you. And from that, Father Damien is a leper. And that news spread all over the island. Everybody knew about this. And when he came into the place where he built up, everybody, lepers there, gather around him that fill up that place that he has built. And Damien began to preach with two words, we lepers. Before he came to be a helper, but now he is one of them, just like them. And before, he just a temporary living there, but now he make his home. He become a neighbors of these lepers. Before, he came only to live with them, but now he remained to die with them. And from there, he preached the gospel, and many returned and accept Christ. Because he is a leper like us. Today, when he said, you do not understand our suffering when you don't become a leper. But now, become a leper, they understand. He could understand our suffering, the lepers were saying to each other. And there is a Japanese doctor in 1885 to come to heal the lepers to Damien. But nothing works because his leprosy is so deep all over his body. And so after 5 years there, in 1889, April 15th, Damien passed away. He was only 49 years old. He gave his life to Christ, and his body was moved back to Belgium for burial. And they respected his work there. He has paid the price, ready to become a leper to preach the gospel to the lepers. When Jesus came to us, the sinful world, he sympathized with you and me. And he said, we sinners, we've been forsaken by the Lord. On the cross, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus can sympathize and understand our suffering. We sinners. And Jesus understood the heart of each one of us.
We have a desire that how the Bible said, whoever is thirst about righteousness, that person would be filled. Blessed is he who thirsts for righteousness. Nothing more horrible to cause us to be out of breath that a life has been forsaken by God. Jesus has helped us to understand we have a need that is a spiritual need. Our need, our spiritual, we need forgiveness. That Jesus said, Father, please forgive them. On the cross, Jesus prayed. Doesn't matter whether we commit sin large or small, or how great our sin is. Even we need forgiveness. And that's why Jesus prayed on the cross, Dear Father, please forgive them. And this means that, Father, please keep their sin on my shoulder. And Jesus accepted our sin on his shoulder. He knew that we need to be accepted by God. And because of that, Jesus said, my God, why have you forgotten me? Jesus accepted that forsakenness from the Lord so that we can be close to God. Jesus sees that our soul need comforting. There is no rest except when we are in God's hand. And Jesus prayed, I want to commit my spirit into your hand. Each word uttered by Jesus on the cross is directly related to each one of us. And tonight, as we commemorate his suffering, may we can feel that God, Jesus, can use our lifestyle, the associate, our wholeheartedness in our worship and our service to the Lord to satisfy the need that Jesus said. May God bless you tonight. As God's love that has given to us. Jesus has done everything, and he concluded on the cross. Everything is finished. Meaning you and I, there is no other effort from us. Everything has been done. But do we receive what God is offering to us or not? Are we worthy of his sacrifice for us or not? Tonight, we will receive communion together. Communion represents the body and the blood of Christ. And we've been giving out the cup and the bread so we can fellowship with each other. This is only a representation, but is it important? Very important. When they use a cloth that has a color to become like a flag, and that flag is a representation of a nation. Whoever trampled that flag, that means that person trampled on their own country. We are receiving blood in Christ in representation from the cup and the bread. Whoever despises this cup, we are despising the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we are worthy to receive the cup and bread tonight. Not because we have a sinful nature that we are not worthy to receive the cup. Jesus can clean our sin, but God wants us a determination to live worthy of what Christ has done on the cross. I give you everything. What will you bring for me? Let's all stand. We turn our heart toward God for prayer. Dear our loving Father, we greatly thankful
cloud, Jesus, because you have a body just like us, weakness just like us, that can sympathize with us for each of our burden, of our suffering. You understand us even more than we understand ourselves, so that, dear Lord, may tonight, may we fellowship with each other in the cup and bread, represent your body and your blood. May we wear your life in us. May we be worthy to receive the cup and bread. And promise that our heart, dear God, I will live according to your word. We will not deny you. There is no reason to defend ourselves anymore, because you have done everything for us. May we use our heart to be always thankful. We thank you, Lord, for you, what you have done for us. And this we will do in remembrance of you. We will express your love throughout our life. Whoever we meet, we have an opportunity to share the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.